BBC Radio 1 Stories. Stories. Discover more.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 1, 2. Are we ready to go? Cool. Well, my name's George Mpanga, better known as George the Poet.
And I'm Kenny Mpanga, George's brother. I'm 15. The next hour of Radio 1 Stories is all about what life is like and how the world looks to people like me, people with autistic spectrum conditions.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah. If I can do it, can I tell you a little story?
Autism is... it can increase creativity, or it can even prevent you from using speech in general.
Autism is a lifelong disability that affects how people communicate and relate to other people. I have Asperger's syndrome, which is on the autistic spectrum.
I used to hear, oh, you're a stupid autistic guy. Hearing all those comments just used to make me just burst into tears.
The longer you're around autism, the more you realise just how differently everybody's brain is wired up.
A friend of mine, we were talking about someone and they said, oh, I might be autistic, as in they don't seem to be very social, don't know how to communicate. And I had to say, be careful. If you're flippant about that, you desensitize yourself to the fact that this is a person that deserves representation. The only time they come up in conversation shouldn't be to laugh at the fact that they might struggle with social situations.
And we're telling them 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. 7 billion people in the world, and there's only one you.
This is BBC. BBC Radio 1 Stories. Discover more.
Isn't it kind of whiz sharing a microphone with me? You're used to having it all to yourself. You're listening to Radio 1 Stories with me, Kenny Mpanga, and my big brother, the BBC Sound of 2015 shortlisted music artist, George the Poet.
So the next hour is called Stories from the Spectrum, and that's because we're going to try and help people who are not autistic understand what the world is like for people who are.
The National Autistic Society describes autism as a developmental disability that affects how someone relates to the world.
There's no one type of autism, which is why the word spectrum gets used. It affects different people in different ways and can be more or less severe. Lots of people, like Kenny, can live more or less like the rest of us, while others will need specialist help their whole lives.
There's no way we can detail every single different way it can affect people. Instead, we're going to meet a few people affected by autism in different parts of the UK and find out what it means to them. Let's get started with me.
So, Kenny, how old were you when we realised you had autism?
I was about 7, so you would have been about 16 at the time.
So the first thing I'm thinking is I need to understand what that means. So I start learning and opening my mind up to autism. And then I start seeing it in his behaviour, behaviour that I'd seen 7 years prior. But with this new knowledge that I had, I saw deeper into the things that he did.
I see autism as some sort of special difference which occurs on very unique human beings. I think it could also bring the best out of people.
Are kids cruel to you over autism?
Not anymore, no.
Do you remember any times when they were?
Yeah, in primary school.
In primary school, when kids were being unkind to you about the way your brain works, did they know that it was autism? Did they know anything about why you were different?
I think when they heard the word autism, they thought disabled instantly. I used to hear, oh, you're a stupid autistic guy, and you're not an able student, you're just a worthless autistic guy. Because when I was younger, I wasn't very confident. Just hearing all those comments just used to make me just burst into tears. Just not want to talk to anyone.
Because Kenny's not wasn't the most communicative when he was younger. At the time, I didn't realise the amount of bullying that he might be subjected to. Yeah, he might have had his friends, but at the same time, you know, kids can be cruel. So when I think about what he was going through, it hurts me. We're spending this hour talking about autism. Kenny's growing up with it, and so are an estimated 700,000 people around the UK. One way to understand autism is to think about some of the things you might take for granted. An awareness of body language, to know when someone is happy or angry, or realising when someone is being sarcastic or telling a joke. For many people with autism, it's almost impossible to interpret or understand these kind of things.
Say, for instance, if another person was to joke about, say, a severely autistic person, that person may take it the very, very wrong way.
Yeah, when I was younger, that was a responsibility that the rest of my brothers and I had to take on. We had to realise that the way we tease each other might not be fair for Kenny. I felt very bad for some of the things I'd done previously. Like, you know, it's a house full of boys. We tease each other all the time. And we used to tease Kenny about certain things, thinking that Kenny was laughing along. But at the time, it was probably like, you wouldn't have done that if you knew why he did what he did.
I remember when I was five, for my fifth birthday, I had like a Winnie the Pooh toy. And my older brother started hitting it, and they were proper like hitting it and throwing it around, and I started crying because that was my I saw it as my birthday present, and I just thought they were like cruel for it.
We all just started beating up this teddy bear for no reason whatsoever. Now that I look back on it, I've regretted that forever. But now that I look back on it, looking at how Kenny is now, he's got very steady nerves. He's got a lot of patience and high tolerance for stuff. I think if we babied him and if we were constantly pampered him, we didn't have to beat up his teddy bear. But I think he's a lot more mature than we were at his age. My name is George the Poet, and you're listening to Stories from the Spectrum here on BBC Radio 1. Where we're from in Northwest London, it's not quite like Aberdeen, but that's where we're headed next, to meet someone else growing up with autism, 16-year-old Eden Hansen.
Oh, hey, check it out, ducklings. 7, I think, all crowding behind their mother there.
They're little tiny.
Oh my God, they're miniature.
It is a little bit tricky because trying to describe autism in words is already a problem enough for neurotypicals. So with an autistic person, it's even harder.
There's an awful lot of things that people take for granted that they just think are normal.
This is my dad. His name is Alex.
There's an awful lot of things we get by on. They're not made clear. They're not literal. They're not, you know, they're actually things that people just assume everybody else thinks. And autistic kids just don't. They just don't get that.
I feel like I have exceptionally different opinions from most people. I don't even celebrate Christmas. And most people usually do. I think the proper celebration is the winter solstice. My dad used to work at university as an lecturer and has a boat he calls Rassay.
Okay, that's us.
We're sailing down the Caledonian Canal, going, like, literally right through Scotland, which is really cool. We're at the river here, in the country, I believe. Are we in the countryside now, Dad?
Yes, definitely.
Hi, my name's Ross, and I'm Eden's half-nephew and friend. I find it very odd in situations when I introduce him to new people who I know, and they say he's very odd, and I'm like, but he's just Eden, that's what he's like. But it's then having to think, I wonder why they thought that, and then clicking on that he does have autism, and they will find him odd. I see Eden as Eden. There's nothing extra on it. I am right now steering the boat along the canal. We're coming up for a bend. I can go round bends, that's fine. It's then straightening up after the bend.
You know, you could let me drive.
Do you want to drive?
Yeah.
Do you want to give Eden a shot?
Yeah, after the bend.
After the bend, okay.
You're going to master the bend.
Autism is, I wouldn't want to call it a condition. It's more or less of just a very specific way of thinking for certain people. It can increase creativity, or it can even prevent you from using speech in general.
I have had one or two sort of heated discussions between other people because I've just been sort of saying that, yes, he can't do that, but you can't do certain things what he can maybe do brilliantly at. And it's just swings and roundabouts, really. It's just he can do some things better than us.
I am now steering. Tilt it right for the starboard bound, tilt it left for the port bound.
No, you don't.
What? You'd push the tiller to the left if you're going to turn to starboard.
Or right to left, or left to right.
We seem to be going the right direction, so whatever you think you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I just attached a genetically engineered device to this stick and I'm just pretending I'm driving it.
Sat up in the back seat, driving around these back streets. Something's getting at me. I'm numb, so what does that mean? Am I sad cause you lied? Or am I mad cause you tried?
That was Maverick Sable with Emotions, and this is George the Poet bringing you stories from the spectrum.
We're looking at what life can be like for the estimated 1 in every 100 people like me. We have the autistic spectrum condition.
We tend to think that our perspective is the only perspective, but there's something else that's going on in someone else's head that can just make the world a bit more interesting if you take the time.
Well, for starters, I obviously don't think like everybody else. I always think about numbers, and numbers just fascinate me a lot. especially squares. Whenever I learn a new square number, it feels like very rewarding.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. Kenny, it's time. It is time we told him about your powers. Do you want to tell him your secret?
Oh, yeah, I sure do. Oh, that was a Thursday.
16th of August, 2001.
It was a Thursday. It gave me the ability to do the dates.
It started off as him just having a good memory for people's birthdays. And over time, he started telling us what day these dates fell on. And from a young age, we could see that that's not common. It's a gift.
Kenny, you're too smart. You are actually too smart. You're older than Brett. Seriously, how? How?
What do you do?
It's an African thing.
So to this day, you fire any date at him, whether it's in the past or in the future, he can tell you what date it falls on.
March the 14th, 1985.
I would say that was a Thursday.
Absolutely right.
This BBC science programme called Horizon last year, they came to film me to explore different types of autism. It was a pretty fun experience.
And the 6th of July, 1987?
That was a Monday.
Brilliant, yeah. It's almost like you're taking no time at all. You hear the date and you know the answer.
Yeah. Gosh. It all started when I was about 7 or 8. I didn't look in any diaries or calendars.
Okay.
I just remembered that every year a day goes forward apart from leap years.
Okay, so that's the 1 year, 1 day rule.
That's when I also found out that in one century, every 28 years are the same year.
I'd always planned on giving Kenny a platform if I could, but he found a platform without me. BBC approached him and were really interested in his talent, and we've always been excited about it. It never gets old, so we were happy for it to be acknowledged. We all got contacted from friends that were infused by the fact that they'd seen Kenny on TV, and it was just a good moment. It was nice for him to be appreciated for his gift.
I've always had a love for numbers. When I think of those calculations, if that date this year was on this date, then 30-something years ago it would have been on this date. So that's how I work it out.
This kind of savant ability is something people often associate with autistic people. It's rare, though. Rarer than you'd think if you just knew about autism from books or films like Rain Man. No one really knows why there's sometimes a link between autism and different kinds of skills or gifts. It will never stop astonishing me. In class, you sometimes teach them different methods of doing things
yes.
that the textbook doesn't offer.
Yeah. It feels like I've already given myself a head start in maths. The sky's the limit, really.
I'm in.
if it don't work, but soon you'll see the truth after the smoke.
My name is George the Poet, and you're listening to Stories from the Spectrum, where we're spending an hour hearing from people with autism and their families about how the condition affects their lives. Our next visit is to Bournemouth to meet Jolie Comer.
I'm 22 years old and I live in Bournemouth. I have Asperger's syndrome, which is on the autistic spectrum. You could probably tell I'm completely avoiding your eye contact. I'm sorry if it's rude.
My name's Karina Colmer. I'm Jolie's sister. Jolie has a routine for everything, so...
Oh, my God. Routines, they, like, underpin everything in my life. Like, everything I have to have a routine for.
Cleaning her teeth. She has to get the toothbrush and put it under the cold tap and turn the cold tap on and turn the cold tap off. And you were saying how many seconds you...
I have to, 50 times up and 50 times down.
Yeah.
But then have to move the toothbrush round to get different angles and stuff.
And then she has routines like that for everything. Like getting dressed in the morning, brushing her hair, putting on her shoes.
It sounds really silly, but... I need those routines or nothing in the world makes sense.
Yeah, it's why learning new tasks becomes quite difficult, or also doing things in real life. So, say, for example, Jolie going to catch the bus. There's so many things that can change and go wrong. So the bus might be a minute late. There might be lots of people at the bus stop.
Sorry, I interrupted.
It's okay.
I'd been learning to catch a bus with my parents and family for weeks and weeks. I was like 11, just starting off at secondary school. On my first time coming back on the bus, I saw my parents and they were waving at me from the bus stop, but that distracted me and I didn't know to get off the bus. So I just sat upstairs. My parents are like waving at me frantically and pointing down, down, down.
We'd spend so long telling Jolie how to get the bus, what to do, where to get on the bus, what to say to the bus driver, where to sit on the bus. We'd forgot to tell her that she needed to also get off the bus.
How to.
And how to actually go about doing that. So she didn't get off the bus. So that was fun.
BBC Radio 1 Stories. Discover more.
She was about 13 when we told her that she has Asperger's.
It was the most amazing day. It was such a huge relief. My parents sat me down. I think it was in the summer holidays, so I wouldn't be stressed about school or anything. And they sat me down and they just gently said, there's this little thing that you've got, which it makes you really clever and it makes you special and it makes you unique. It makes you a little bit different, but it makes you amazing. This little thing is called a disability and it's called Asperger's. Here are some books. And I just researched it and I loved it. And I read through the lists of all the symptoms and everything and it all just screamed me. And I was like, my life finally makes sense and it's just so much better now.
Everything just sort of fell into place, didn't it? Jolie suddenly didn't feel like the abnormal person anymore. It's like the first time you went to Glastonbury with Mum, do you remember?
Yes.
And you said it was like going home because everybody was so weird and wonderful that you didn't feel like the odd one out.
We were walking past the Pyramid Stage, I was with my mum and it was my first ever Glastonbury. We'd been there for like an hour or two and I was so excited, and everyone was wearing really cool, like, multicoloured clothes, and they were just, everyone was so happy and relaxed and, you know, different. I remember saying to my mum, I love it. Everyone is so wacky and different. I just feel at home. I feel normal. This is just brilliant. I love it.
Jolie is, she has, you know, these problems and difficulties, and that we give her a lot of support with. But in other areas, she's amazing. She is, you know, the classic Asperger-y, you know, girl who has these specialist topics which she has knows so much about. I mean, the amount she knows about cancerous cells is phenomenal, and ancient Egypt.
Every single room in my house was a different era in history. For instance, in the hallway, I used to imagine there was a Quintus tree. To help me cope with the death of loved ones. It's an ancient Roman thing where you have a tree in the middle of the inside garden, and every flower would represent a lost soul. And I used to stand in the middle of the hallway and, like, pray to the house gods that they'd keep the lost souls, the flowers, safe. And obviously my parents could walk past and not have a clue what I was doing. This is not actually a tree in the middle of my hallway.
Her style, and they all got the same heartbeat, but hers is falling behind. Nothing in this world could ever bring them down. Yeah, they're invincible, and she's just in the background. And she says, I wish that I could. He is going through. They're driving fast cars, but they don't know where they're going. In the fast lane, living life without knowing. And he says, I wish they.
My name is George the Poet, and you're listening to Stories from the Spectrum, a look at what life is like for an estimated 1 in 100 people in the UK with autism.
She spent hours playing with her thumbs, One fun was called Mucker and one fun was called Muck. Yeah, do you want to tell the story, Mucker Mucker?
There was one time when I was at primary school. It came to the end of a lesson and the teacher asked everyone to go out because it was time for a different lesson. But I didn't know I had to follow them. So I stayed in the classroom and I just sort of hid under the table because I'd been so overloaded. I needed a break. So I hid under the table and I was asking my fums, Muck and Mucker, for help with my spellings. My right fum was always positive and sort of helped me out with things, and my other fum would interject with doubt and negativity. Sounds absolutely mad, but yeah, that's how it was. So I was talking to my fums and asking for help with my spellings. But then I heard loads of crashing and banging and shouting from outside my classroom, and it really freaked me out. And then there was teachers calling my name, and I was like, oh my God, what's going on? And the teacher comes storming in. She's like, Jolie, you jolly well pick yourself up right this instant. And I got really confused. I was like, why does she want me to be jolly? What, like a clown? So I smiled at her, a big jolly grin, and she was furious. And then she said, you pick yourself up right now. So I thought, pick myself up like I do on the monkey bars at home in the park? So I picked myself up on the underside of the table and I was sort of just hanging there, smiling at her like a clown. And, oh my God, yeah. It's just crazy looking back. I just didn't know.
From my point of view, you know, Jolie's sister, just take everything slowly, give the person with Asperger's a little bit more time because they can do it in the end. They just need that little bit of extra time and understanding.
Patience. Patience is key.
I'm really positive about my disability. I love my disability. Like, I look at something and it's like having a pair of binoculars and I can zoom in at the detail and remember everything I see. Like, I can remember when I was a child going to a field and I can remember everything in that field. How many cows there were, the different types of grass and the trees and everything.
The cloud formations.
The cloud
formations,
yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Cirrus. I think that's quite a rare gift.
We're finishing up now, but we've been told by the producers we can pick a song to play. So I think we will go with Rudimental,
yes.
Waiting All Night, because we saw them at Glastonbury last year and
they were amazing.
They were amazing. Yes. Lots of happy memories.
That's Jolie Colmer from Bournemouth and her sister Corinna telling us what autism means to them.
I've been waiting all night for you to tell me what you want. Tell me that you need me. I've been waiting all night for you to, oh, tell me what you want, yeah. I've been waiting all night for you to tell me what you want. Tell me that you need me. I've been waiting all night for you to, oh, tell me what you want, yeah.
My name is George the Poet, and you're listening to Stories from the Spectrum here on BBC Radio 1. Ago, a friend of mine said jokingly, we were talking about someone, and they said, oh, they might be autistic, as in they don't seem to be very social, don't know how to communicate. And I had to pick them up on it. I don't think they were being mean. I think they were just loosely associating social ineptitude with autism. And I had to say, be careful, because there's more to autism. As the brother of someone who has autism, I know that it's not tantamount to social ineptitude. Sometimes people will think they're being clever or funny by saying, haha, so-and-so acts autistic. Knowing what I know, I can't sit there and pretend that it's funny or pretend that it's not ignorant, because it is ignorant to say that. If you're flippant about that, then you miss all of the other gems that autism has to offer. And you desensitize yourself to the fact that this is a person that deserves representation. The only time they come up in conversation shouldn't be to laugh at the fact that they might struggle with social situations. Interestingly, when we had that conversation, the discussion became about savants and about the gifts that autism might offer. We went on to talk about Kenny, because a friend of mine jokingly refers to Kenny as the Rain Man. Remember the film Rain Man? You know, he's been my friend for a while, but it took the Horizon documentary for him to learn about Kenny's autism and how Kenny's a savant.
People need to understand that there are people with like different types of autism, and there are autistic people that handle things differently from any other autistic children. I think autism is also like a form of art as well. Because art is like your creative side, and I think autistic people are very creative in that way.
This is my spot.
Is it your spot?
Yes.
I didn't know that. The whole city is your spot, Eden.
Except the middle.
Yeah, but your body passes through the middle. Eden likes to lie full length on the couch. If I want this corner, Eden just sticks his feet in there and everyone has to move.
Back in Aberdeen, Eden Hansen is with his mum, Carrie, going through pictures he drew as a child. They're pictures of an alien world, an imaginary planet called Stardew, that he used to retreat to in his mind because he felt more comfortable there than here on Earth.
It was very messy for quite a long time. There was always loads and loads of paper everywhere. So he spent a lot of time just with his pens and paints and doing these pictures. Yeah, that was just a picture of you going to Stardew, I think.
Well, let me tell you what Stardew is. It's basically a made-up world that I would kind of retreat to in bad situations for myself. I made it up when I was really young. I kind of controlled when and what would happen in that world.
Oh, it's very fond memories of Stardew. Well, it's fond memories in a way, but also it kind of made us realise how odd, in a way, Eden could be. He really genuinely seemed to believe that that's where he was from.
This is four people, five actually, harvesting these fruits that are kind of like watermelons, but they're about 90 times heavier. This is another picture of them carrying the fruit. These are some kind of apples, basically. I think they're cosmic apples. They had a very, very disturbing need to fall out of the tree and hit people in the head, so those guys are wearing helmets.
All of his pictures are these very, very quick sketches that just give you this little vision into you know, what's going on in Stardew?
Well, it is pretty much still in my life. I just felt like I've not really needed to go there anymore since I feel like I can handle my condition better. People have been talking to me about it, and I've been seeing art therapy and stuff like that, and it has been helping.
Do you know what you want for lunch, Eden?
Tuna sandwiches, again, please.
For anyone that knows much about autism, they often have sensory issues, and Eden has a very big sensory issue around food. It makes food a very difficult topic for us. It's got to be the right mayonnaise. It never varies. Because if it's the wrong mayonnaise, Eden will taste that it's the wrong mayonnaise and he won't eat it. If it's got too much mayonnaise, he won't eat them. If it's got too little mayonnaise, he won't eat them. If it's the wrong tuna, he won't eat it. And it's not just like making a fuss, he just will not and cannot eat it. There was a really difficult period he went through where the temperature of the sandwiches became really critical as well. So we were visiting my sister. We were making him sandwiches en route, but they were the wrong temperature and he wouldn't eat them. And it just means that you can't get very far from your own home because you know you've got exactly the right supplies in. So this is Eden having his tuna mayonnaise sandwiches without butter on the bread, without anything else on the plate, with the right plate, the right temperature sandwiches. And that's a stress for Eden as well because, you know, he doesn't want to have to eat food. We keep trying to leave the country, but that's more difficult because, you know, we can't go abroad because there's too many things that Eden just wouldn't eat. You
are listening to BBC Radio 1 Stories. Discover more.
We're in Halston now. And we're going to go and get my haircut. He used to take me for haircuts a lot when I was younger. So he used to work in one of the barbers and he used to give me haircuts a lot.
All right. I used to sweep hair in his barbers. And they used to give me a little pocket change every now and then. The barbershop's quite central to, like, your community and your relationships. So, always here.
Yeah, sometimes it can be hard for him to get his point across or to process a particular question. For example, just now I asked him what haircut he wants. I asked him if he knew what haircut he wants. And he said he did. I didn't verify. I didn't ask him what haircut that was. And he's going to have to figure out how to communicate himself, and he always does. A lot of autistic people struggle with empathy and emotional expression. It's the whole social world. It's incalculable. You tend to feel your way through the social world as opposed to calculate it. Imagine if we were all forced to find our way in maths. Like, we couldn't advance without, like, becoming really familiar with numbers and just having to do calculations off head. Like, most of us don't have to do intense mathematical work all the time. Like, my brain struggles with that. My brain slows down when I start working with numbers. But I understand that, and I don't have to accommodate for that all the time. He will be all right. It's all down to confidence with Kenny. When he feels comfortable, he just flourishes.
So, Kenny, thanks for your help with the show. Since we're on radio, you can play the selector. You got a tune in mind that you would want to play right now?
Any suggestions?
What are you feeling right now? What have you been listening to?
I was listening to a lot of Doggy Style yesterday.
Snoop.
Yeah.
You're listening to Snoop, yeah. What's your favourite song on that album?
Doggy Style, obviously. What's My Name?
What's My Name? Snoop Dogg, What's My Name?
Yeah.
That's a good choice, you know. You know that set a world record when it dropped? 400,000 sales in the first week or something. It was the highest selling debut, you know? Yeah. Yeah, man. Numbers. There's some numbers for you.
From the depth
streets of the sea. Back to the block, Snoop Doggy Dog, funky as the doc. Went solo on that ass, but it's still the same. Long Beach is the spot where I serve my cane. Follow me, but you bet not slip. Cause 9 Trizzes, the year's there for me to clizz out my grip. So I ain't holding nothing back. And once again, I got 5 on the 20 sack. It's like that, and as a matter of fact, cause I never hesitate to put a fool on his back.
Yeah, so peep out the manuscript. You see that it's a must, we drop gangsta.
Hold up, what's my name? To the wild, creeping and crawling, Yiggy, yes, y'all, and Snoop Doggy Dog in the house with the pound like every day. And I'm right back up in you with Dr. Dre. And like I said, none of y'all can get with this, and none of y'all can get with that hit I just dropped. Cause you know it don't stop, Mr. 187 on the undercover cop. Tick tock, now at a Glock, just some nuts and a cock. Rob you for your ears, then I kill you blood clocks. And I step through the fog and I creep through the small. Cause I'm Snoop Doggy, Doggy, Doggy. Way up in the air and wave them all around like you just don't care. Yeah, roll up the dank and pour the drink and watch your stink.
Why?
Cause doggy's on the gang. My bankroll's on swole. I'm still on hit legit, now I'm on parole. Stroll with the dog pound right behind me and rolling with my. That's where you might find me. Licking that, flinging that G thing. She wants the G with the biggest sack. And who's that? He is I and I am him. Slim with the tilted brim.
What's your name?
I heard an interesting Michael Jordan quote the other day, and he said the greatest thing that ever happened in his life was being in the right environment. Because what then happens is that the person he is allowed to flourish, and he's excited about working hard at what he wants. And I see the exact same for Kenny. Part of discovering yourself is going through those battles. It's part of the reason that he's such a strong individual now. He's such a consistent individual now. A lot of people start confronting those things that they're not comfortable with about themselves well into their 30s or later. And my little brother has had to fight that struggle. He's been through that. And he's winning. He's clearly winning. I love it. I celebrate it. Kenny's like, he's making the situation work for him. He's realised that he's got a gift for numbers. Being where he is on the spectrum, he's still able to interact socially. He's still able to have a good time. He knows his strengths. He knows what he wants to work on. And he's happy. Nothing's more important to me than that. Nothing is more important to me than that. I mean, maybe I'm speaking out of turn. Would you say you're happy?
It's true, like after the documentary and everyone just said, oh, you're incredible, you're amazing, that actually made me very happy. It made me appreciate my autism more and more and confident. shortly after the program, I wrote a little paragraph on Facebook about the program and just thanking everyone for it. In total, it had about 75 likes.
Can I ask you, when you feel people appreciating what you've got to offer, the 75 likes on Facebook, everyone celebrating your autism, how does that make you feel about some of the negativity that you got when you were younger?
It makes me feel that a lot of change has occurred. There are people that are freeing up their thinking more, and people that are realising that autism isn't a bad thing, and loving me and appreciating for me for what I have and who I am.
People need to change the way they think about autism in that understanding it's not something that should be cured or fixed. It's a point of difference. It should be understood and appreciated.
I suppose autism in general, one of the things that I find most appealing about autistic people is their honesty. For most of Eden's childhood, he's just been absolutely incapable of lying.
Well, yeah, I do have near impossible time deceiving anyone. I have a lot of nervous tics, or I blink a lot. I secrete more sweat. There was this time I wanted to tell teachers that I was off because I was just incredibly sick. The truth of the matter of fact is that I was actually spending the day trying to get over the loss of my cat.
We were trying to think of a way of putting this across to school without just saying his cat's died and he's just feeling really miserable. In the end, we did just tell the truth because Eden just wouldn't have been able to lie about it. Something would have slipped out. What needs to change to make Eden more happy, have more of a sense of belonging? One thing I would say is I never see Eden as the problem. What's difficult is interpreting, maybe for other people that don't really understand autism. For Eden, what other people need to do for him is to question their own assumptions, question their own way of being in the world. You know, that it isn't the only way. It's just really questioning what we think of as normal.
To be honest with you, I think the word normal used for human behaviour is highly inappropriate. Normal is the birth of a star or of a life. There's no normal personality. If you try to play a game of Snap with personalities, next time somebody finds you, you'd be skeletons.
This is BBC.
BBC Radio 1 Stories. Discover more.
This is why I talk so much about inequality and I fight for equality of opportunity, because the world loses out if we don't get the contribution that everyone else has to offer. But if the world is only designed for certain kinds of people to make a contribution, the world doesn't reach its full potential. And that's why in this family, you've got me who's got a passion for words, you've got Kenny who's got a passion for numbers, and we want to draw out every single aspect of that. This has been Stories from the Spectrum with me, George the Poet. Thanks so much to Eden and Jolie for sharing their stories. Thanks also to my little brother here, Kenny Mpanga.
Thanks also to all of you out there for taking time to listen to our stories.
We're going to finish the hour as we started it with a burst of my track, 1-2-1-2.
2-1-2-1-2-1-2. I, there's 7 billion people in the world, world, world. There's only one of you. This goes out to you, to you, to you and you. If I can do it, you can too. If I can do it, you can too. You and you, yeah, you and you. If I can do it, you can too. If I can do it, you can too. 1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2. If I can do it, can I tell you a little story? See, life
Life is a moment. The story doesn't need the writer's involvement. So edit this for me. Don't embellish and twist it, please. Don't embed it in mysteries. I hope my credit in history amounts to more than my credit history. Aye, edit this for me. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. If I can do it, aye, if I can do it. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. 7 billion people in the world, and there's only one you. Aye, make them learn. Make them learn. Ask my elders. They confirm how we had to stand at the stake and burn. Now my 2 feet are taking turns and it's 1 foot forward. Now the other one. That's the first step. Let's make another one. Repeat the process. Pretty soon you'll notice you're moving forward. And it's all good. Aye, testing. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. 7 billion people in the world, and there's only one you. I said 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. There's 7 billion people in the world, and there's only one you. This goes out to you, to you, hey, to you and you. If I can do it, you can too. If I can do it, you can too. I said you, you, to you and you. If I can do it, you can too. I said if I can do it, you can too. Dry your eyes, the damage is done, the damage is done. But in life, challenges come. What makes you think you can't manage this one? You better wear your pain with pride. I wanna see that shit in your stride. I know, you're sick of the grind, but a wall is built one brick at a time. I said, look, the damage is done, the damage is done. But in life, challenges come. What makes you think you can't manage this one? Put one, hey, now the other one. That's your first step. Make another one. Repeat the process. Pretty soon you'll notice you're moving forward. And it's all good. And we're telling them 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. 7 billion people in the world, and there's only one you.
Big, big thanks to George the Poet for the last hour here on BBC Radio 1. I'm Hugh Stevens, and I'm with you straight after the news with loads of tunes. Let's get the latest then from Newsbeat at 10 now. This is Cat Collins.
This is BBC Radio 1.
The PM wants young people to earn their benefits.
Newsbeat.